Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It's not so much a traditional Christmas opening scripture, but I'm thinking in the times we're living in and coming into a new year, a lot of things change as a new year comes. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Coming back to verse 6, be careful. Take care. That word careful, if it had another L on it, it would be much more definitive of what it really means. Filled with cares. Full up with cares, worries, anxieties, fretting, fears, unknowns. All of those things, they're like babies of the parent spirit of fear. It's like spiders and their little babies hang off their backs, you know. And well, fear, a spirit of fear is like that. It has all these little babies that it spawns, if you will. Worry, fear, anxiety. All of those little words, the parent of those is fear. And so it says, be careful for nothing. Because that's what you get, is there's no benefit to any of us if we're filled to capacity with worries and fears and cares. Because there's a lot you could fill up on. And a phrase that I remember many years ago, be careful what you hear, because they'll either produce words of faith or produce words of fear. And I thought, that's a really good word. Take heed what we hear. Jesus warned us about that too after the parable of the sower and the seed in Mark chapter 4. So be careful for nothing. Nothing is a combination word of no thing. Why it says so, there's no rhyme or reason for Christians to get into fear. This is written to believers. But in everything, instead of being filled with cares and fear in everything, but it says in everything, not for everything, but in everything, that we will experience as believers by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So if we, in everything, it can be a good day, it can be a bad day. Some of you call it a bad hair day. It could be any day, but you're confronted or find ourselves in a state of disruptions, or things aren't going the way we think they should go. But to bring those things before the Lord and leave them there. And so rather than being careful, we become carefree. Amen. It doesn't mean we don't care. We just don't let the cares have us. And there's a difference. When you leave those things with the Lord, there's no reason to go back. Oh, Father, I'm sorry, I caught you at a bad moment. I'll take that back. I'll give you a day off. Because that's what we do. We give it to him, and then within minutes, sometimes, straight back there. And watching too much news is a good source of that, where more prayer and less worry, more prayer and less care. God knows the final outcome, and we do. If you read your book all the way to the end, you find out we win. But it's nice to know we're winners now. It's nice to know we're more than conquerors. It's nice to know we're more than overcomers. It's nice to know that he always causes us to triumph in Christ. So as you're thinking about from this day, it's only a week and we'll be in a new year. I'm looking at it from that context, from that perspective. I'm not a doom and gloom person, but I have found that there are a lot of troubling days ahead. And I use the word tumultuous. That word is still in my spirit, because that's what the world has to offer. But what God has to offer is the peace of God that passes all understanding. And people may think that, like I used to, that Christians are crazy. How can they just go along like... But we're those people now. When you leave all of your cares, what takes the vacuum of that? I mean, what are we filled with? If the cares aren't there and we're not full of cares, what takes its place? Joy. What else? Peace. And I don't have any explanation for it. I don't know how it works. It just does. I don't even know how gravity works, but I know it works. Jump off the roof. Boom. Finished. Thanksgiving. That is a really important word, and I'm so thankful that in times past when we've looked at these verses, being thankful goes such a long ways with the Lord, because thankfulness shows that when we give him all the things that we're concerned about, then his peace comes. But thankful also expresses our faith, that we really do believe that God's got this, he's going to handle it, he's going to take care of it. And being thankful and expressing thanksgiving in prayer, in prayers of thanksgiving, really is important, because it shows the Lord that we're releasing our faith in his word. We're releasing our faith in him. And so thanking him is a nice way to incorporate that in prayer, because that's what it demonstrates. It demonstrates our faith in that we really do believe his word. We really do believe he'll do what he said he will, and that he's done what he said he's done, and that all these great and precious promises that are in the word are for us. And so when you realize how much he's done and what he's done in Christ, thankful is barely enough to scratch the surface, but it's a starting place. And then he said, and the peace of God which passes all understanding. I don't know how that works either, but I know when I have it, and I'm sure that you do as well, when you're not in a turmoil, something's just all stirred up, that's not peace. But it said, it's good for our hearts and our minds. A person who generally is at peace, you're not a person whose heartbeat is 140 beats a minute when you're just sitting in a chair. That's not peace. That's borderline heart attack. You know, from worry and stress and carrying on and getting all worked up over stuff. And so I like these kind of promises. They're not grandiose big things, but they are, when you think about the value and the worth they are to us as believers, the tools that God has given us that non-believers don't have. We are so privileged and so advantaged, but I never saw that before salvation, because I didn't hang around those of my friends that got saved. I didn't hang around with them long enough to start learning these things from them. It'll keep your heart and mind. The mind likes to wander. There's a lot of things about our mind in the scriptures. In fact, the word even tells us what to think. Philippians 4, the next verse. And this is what helps us to keep that peace. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. And you could say, man, I don't know anything that's that good. Just think about Jesus. He's all of these. If we can't think about anything else, if you're not hearing a good report, pick up the word. things that are honest. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And that's a really good reminder, because our minds can change so quickly, just like that. Random thoughts come through our heads. Our heads are like a radio receiver, and they tune in to the spiritual realm, what's going on in the atmosphere, like there are radio waves going through this room. And if you've got a tuner, you can tune in to each individual channel or station. And our minds are like that too. We can choose what we think, and it's very quick to change your thoughts. You can change a thought just as quick as changing a tuner. I did find out, though, that I don't know why, but bad news travels faster than the speed of light. But good news, it takes a little longer for that to get around. Because sometimes a good juicy story is really exciting and we gotta go tell somebody else. Not necessarily in our gatherings or things like that, but in general, people's stories or their worries or their cares or their fears, if they dwell on that and they speak it, they don't realize if they change the way they think, they would change the way they live. And if they change the way they live, they would have a better quality of life. And it all starts with a thought and changing a thought. Changing a thought can change your future. Changing a thought can change the outcome. So coming into the new year, think on these things and look for these things that are honest and true. We have politicians, and I'm not really sure anymore which ones are true and which ones are honest. They all talk about what they'll do, but I like to look, finally come to the Word and find out what God did, because He did everything He said He would. And He's really
still working today.
Yes.
He's still working on our situation.
Absolutely. Yes. Oh, and there are international groups of prayer warriors praying for our country, from Australia, from Austria, from England, places all over the world that are praying for our country. Our brothers and sisters all over the world. America used to be the generator of all of those things and export those things to other countries. And now people are looking and seeing the need and praying for us, because we reap what we sow as a nation. And if we've sown all those things over the years, to this day, America's a first responder, no matter with all of its problems and all its political stuff. In times of natural disasters like hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and volcanoes all over the world, America generally is a first responder to all those disasters. America sent more Bibles all over the world than all the other countries combined. America has more Christian radio stations and television stations and satellite broadcasts than many other countries of the world. So we have a lot to be thankful for, and a lot of these things are true. I remember meeting a man in Africa on a missions trip, and he had a shortwave radio, battery-powered shortwave radio, and he used to listen to Trans World Radio, all the Christian programming that was coming from America and being broadcast on shortwave radios all over the world. And he had his little tuner, and I wanted to just bless him because he couldn't get out. He had a paralyzed inability from his waist down, and he couldn't get out like a lot of people. And that's what he thrived on. He would just feed his spirit man on the Word and on worship and praise. And when I left, I really asked the Lord, because I always like to leave a blessing when I leave. And I said, what can I bless him with? And the Lord said, go buy him a case of batteries for his radio. And that's what I did. And it lasted many years. And so he knew even, and he wasn't one who got into self-pity and loathing and making everybody miserable around him. He didn't do that. He so filled himself with the word, all those things that he did, because he sought them out. It's one of those places that has no indoor toilets, has no electric, the simplicities of life, but yet he realized the value of the things that would be his strength and help him the most. And so that's a good thing to do, just like what Paul said, finally. In all the end, if we finally come to that place, but each one of us has a finally. In our life, there's a finally. We come to a conclusion, or we come to an understanding. And my understanding is it's about huggy break time.
Can I add one more thing?
Please. You all have the rest of it, you know.
I don't want to get on politics and stay there, heaven forbid. But, you know, when your house has been built up on wrong things, you've got to have a demolition crew come in, mm-hmm. and they have to completely destroy what's been built up and then start rebuilding. It's never pretty, it's always messy, and it makes a lot of noise. And I believe that's what we're in the middle of right now. I really do.
Yes, a tearing down,
yep.
before it can be rebuilt.
Yes.
I'd like to believe, and this is like in a Christian's life too, our foundation. I'm not really gifted in the area of a prophetic ministry or anything like that, but I know that my call is to build a strong foundation in people's lives so that whatever you, however long you're here, whatever you hear, wherever you go from this place and you apply that, it will work in your life wherever you go. This church is huge in its impact and numbers of people that have been here for long periods of time, and now they're dispersed in all the various communities around us. And their faith foundation is solid and secure, and they're not moved, they're not wobbling and waffling all over the place. But I did have, for a huggy break, I brought this, I printed it, and it's called One Solitary Life. Maybe some of you have heard it. It was based on a sermon that Dr. James Allen Francis preached back in 1926, back to the foundation of our country. One Solitary Life. See if you can recognize this person. Here is a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never owned a home. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside a big city. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompanies greatness. He had no credentials but himself. While still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed upon a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on earth, his coat. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 long centuries have come and gone, and today he's a centerpiece of the human race and leader of the column of progress. I am far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, all the Navics, I don't understand that word, but that's what this man wrote, that were all the navies that were ever built, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned put together, have not affected the life of a man upon this earth as powerfully as he who had one solitary life. And this was written in 1926, and I think of the foundation of our country, and a lot of things can be torn down to the foundation, but I believe that that foundation is secure because it was inspired by God and carried out by people who believed, and that everything that is being torn down, I know they're after the foundation but I don't believe they'll get the foundation. Our nation, I believe, stands strong. And those are good things to encourage each other with. So anyway, now we can take a few minutes and greet each other.